Thank you very much. Good morning. And it's always a joy to be with you. And I hope you love that song. I'm glad that you can rejoice in the fact you've been redeemed. And it's what gives us that hope. Most of you probably know that Mrs. Moss, the pastor's wife, is my sister. And we, of course, had the memorial service for her yesterday. And, of course, there's sadness for the family. There's joy because she was redeemed. And we know she's in heaven. And what a wonderful hope we have knowing that the pain is gone. And she's where I want to be. I'm a bit jealous because I'm ready. It's not that we want to die, but we're ready. We're ready to go. And her time was gone. Her race was run. And she served the Lord. In relation to that, a lot of people live without taking time to analyze their lives. I would like to ask yourself, what is my goal in life? You ever stop and think about that? Just ask yourself, what is my goal in life? Don't say it out loud, but answer honestly in your heart. You know, for a lot of people, their goal is to make money. Some of you here, you have jobs, you work, and what motivates you to go to work? For most people, it's, well, I've got to earn a living, I've got to make money. For some people, it's, set aside something for retirement one day, for the future. Now, those are good thoughts, and they're even biblical thoughts, but those should not be the main reasons that you work. There's another reason that's greater than just making money or setting aside for the future. Some of you are in school. Why do you go to school? And some of you, I know you're homeschooled, but, why go to school? Well, you got to. You have to learn, But there's a greater reason. You see, God has a hand in all of these things. If you have a job, now unless you took a sinful job and you're outside the will of God, but if you took a job, do you ever think about why that job? Do you ever think about why at that place? Just think about where you live and why did you get that place to live in? God has a reason in all of these things. We learn some principles from the life of Zacchaeus here in Luke chapter 19. I want us to go through this passage in Luke 19 and look at some principles that we find here about God's goal for our life. Number one, if you're going to follow God's goal for your life, you need to see that everyone needs Jesus. Principle number one, if you're going to follow God's goal for your life, you need to see that everyone needs Jesus. Look at verse 1, Luke 19, 1. And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. Verse 2, and behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And finally, verse 3 for this point. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press because he was of little stature. The point here we see is that everyone needs Jesus. The poor need him and the rich need him. It's very interesting when you read about Jesus' ministry in Matthew 11, 5, when John the Baptist sent his disciples to Jesus to say John had been put in jail, and he knew he had baptized Jesus as the Messiah. He knew who he was and what he was going to do, but he had some doubts. He's sitting in jail now, and he's like, sends disciples, just make sure this guy really is the Christ, the Messiah. And they went to him. And Jesus said to them, the blind, go back and tell John this. The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk, and the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, and the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached unto them. Jesus ministered mainly to the poor. Probably because a lot of rich people aren't interested. Very much the same today. If you have everything you need, okay, you might believe there's a God. We know there are atheists out there, but you might believe there's a God, but why do I really need him? I mean, I have everything I need. I'm rich. I've got everything. And so there's a tendency. That's why Jesus said, how few, and I'm not going to quote this exactly now because I didn't write it down, but few rich men will enter the kingdom of God. It's just a natural thing because they're trusting in what they have. They don't really need God in their way of thinking. But the fact that Jesus ministered largely to the poor didn't mean he neglected the rich. Jesus knew both the poor and the rich need him. They need his salvation, his forgiveness. Both the uneducated and the educated need Jesus. Both adults and children need Jesus. Everybody needs Jesus. And so we see this principle that we need to reach people around us. We have a lot of opportunities in South Africa. We have opportunities that would be hard to find here. For example, we get into the schools. The government schools allow us to come in and preach. And preach the gospel to them. And usually what I do, opening assembly is supposed to take 10 to 15 minutes. And sometimes the preachers that they let come in get a little carried away. And they'll preach for 20, 30, 40 minutes. And they kind of upset the school because, not that the school minds the message, but they're taking class time. And it's especially bad for the high schools. You know, the high schools, they have set class periods. And it gets difficult if these preachers are coming in, you give him 10 minutes and he takes 30 or 40. Well, I go in, I take about 7 to 8 minutes. What I do is I read a scripture, I give the gospel, I use an object lesson along with it, and then I give the gospel, I tell them, give them one thought about how to be a good student, I have a prayer, I'm done, 7 to 8 minutes, and they love me. And it's funny because what they do, whoever, they have different teachers that lead the opening assembly different days, and the teacher usually get up in the end and recap a little something. And I can always tell which teacher is saved and which teacher isn't saved, because if the teacher is saved, she gets up and she recaps the gospel that I preached. If the teacher isn't saved, she gets up and recaps how to be a good student. And it's just so obvious, you know, because when someone's saved and you heard the gospel, that's what they want to emphasize to the children, you know. But it's a wonderful opportunity that is hard to find here in America. We go out on the street. We go door to door. We use a megaphone. They use a megaphone. Sunday afternoons, we go out and preach with a megaphone. And in our community, it's well received. The only people who try to stop us are the drunkards. When they're drunk. When they're not drunk, they're okay with it. But for some reason, when they're drunk, they don't like to hear a gospel message. But we go out with a megaphone. Hospitals and clinics, there's often long lines of people. And opportunities to go in and sometimes to preach the gospel, a gospel message, or hand out gospel tracts. There's just so many opportunities to reach people. My encouragement to you is realize that God, if you know Jesus as your Savior, God wants you to be looking to reach other people. Where you live, some of you that are in school, some of you have jobs, what God has put you in a certain place because you are his servant at that place. You see, foreign missions doesn't start on some foreign field. I didn't all of a sudden get to South Africa and somehow become a soul winner. So you start where you are, and then God leads you step by step where he wants you. It might be right here in this town. It might be in another city. It might be in another state. It might be in another country. But you start where you're at to serve the Lord, and he leads you step by step. So I want you to realize everyone needs the Lord, even those people around you. Number two, principle number two, if you're going to follow God's goal for your life, you need to see other people. Look at verses 4 and 5, Luke 19, 4 and 5. And he ran before, this is Zacchaeus, and he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. You see, Jesus could have easily passed by. He could have ignored this short little chap in the tree and what you doing up there, buddy? But he stopped. He was paying attention. You know, sometimes we get so busy and concerned with our lives that we fail to see the needs of others. Jesus said in John 4:35, say not ye, there yet 4 months, and then cometh the harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. So again, Jesus was using an illustration. He often used parables. In this case, it was actually a physical illustration. He looked on the fields and he saw what's going to be 4 months yet until the harvest time. But now he's making a spiritual application. When it comes to reaching people, don't say, well, one day I'm going to get busy trying to reach people for the Lord. Lift up your eyes and see people and ask God to give you wisdom how to reach those people for the Lord. There's a brother visiting us today in the back there, Brother Jeff. Met him at Walmart yesterday. He's wearing a t-shirt, said forgiveness. I said, are you forgiven? And we had a conversation. I invited him. Thank you, brother, for coming. Anyway, there are ways to be a witness for it. You're looking to reach other people. You see? A number of years ago, the first Zulu guy I trained for the ministry, we went to a funeral one day. We get to a lot of funerals over there. It's kind of different from here because here it's kind of like friends and family come. Among the Zulu people, it's a community event. And you often have hundreds of people at a funeral, and relatives will come from far away. Of course, we do that here as well. But just this community event, a lot of people show up, and you didn't have to have any particular connection. It's just someone in the community died, and everybody goes. And anyway, what happened, someone in our church, a relative died, and they live 4 hours away, and they asked us to go. So we took some folks with us, and off we went to the funeral. We show up, and a church that does not preach the gospel was in charge, called the 12 Apostles. They believe they're the succession from the 12 Apostles, and salvation is through their church, and their so-called apostle lays his hand upon you, and then you're saved. You receive the Holy Spirit, they think, by the laying on the hands of an apostle, and you're saved. Doesn't matter that you still follow ancestor worship and that you live in sin, and that doesn't matter. They don't worry about a repentant faith or asking Christ to cleanse you. Just lay on the hands of an apostle. Okay, well, they were in charge. So we get there, and they said to us, we want you guys to do the message. Wow, okay. They said, but we're going to tell you what to preach. They do this now and then. They give you the passage you're going to preach from. Guess what they pick? John 14, 1-6. You get down to verse 6, Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And, I mean, it goes directly against what their church teaches, all right? So anyway, I said to my helper, I said, I want you to preach the, I kind of testified and gave a mini sermon, but I said, I want you to take the main message. Man, he preached Jesus is the way, and he preached hellfire and brimstone. He gave an invitation, and 8 of their people said, I want to be saved. Okay. And then at the very end, the husband of the lady who died, he gets up and he says, you know, this is supposed to be a sad day. But he says, I'm so happy. He says, sitting right there, I repented in my heart, and I received Jesus as my Savior. He said, this is a wonderful day. It's amazing. Sometimes you got to lift up your eyes and realize there are some people who will hear. You can reach some people. Principle number 3, if you're going to follow God's goal for your life, you need to see there are some who are ready to hear the truth. This is related to the first point. But some people are ready to hear. Look at verse 6, Luke 19, verse 6. And he made haste, this is Zacchaeus, made haste and came down and received him joyfully. We get resistance sometimes from people. Some people are disinterested. I find as I give out gospel tracts, various times I give out gospel tracts, most people will take one. Occasionally, somebody even thanks you. Okay, and I asked a guy the other day, we were at the airport, when we were flying in, and I said to a guy, I've got a pamphlet from the Bible. Would you be interested in reading it? He said, I would be interested in reading it. And there was another customer behind us, didn't really have time to get in and talk to the gospel, but there's a gospel message in the pamphlet. He said, I'd be interested. Well, that's a blessing when someone is willing to do that. One day I was out with a man I was training. He's now pastor of the first church that I started there in South Africa, and he and I were out visiting one day, and we're in an area called Valley of 1,000 Hills, and everything's down and up, and a lot of hills. And so we were on this one hillside, and we were visiting and going house to house. On the far hillside, there sat 2 men. They were just sitting there under the shade of a tree, and all afternoon, we're out going door to door and talking to people, and we get down to the bottom. We start up the hill, and they're still sitting there, and we get to them about, I don't know, 2 or 3 hours later, and they said, they smiled when we woke up to them. They said, we're sitting here watching you all afternoon. We were wondering if you're ever going to get to us. And sure enough, we did. Got to give them the gospel. And so they didn't run away. Some people, they think you're going to give the gospel. They'll run away. They don't want to hear it. But there are some who are willing to hear. And my encouragement to you is you look for those people. Yes, sometimes you try to reach people, they'll resist it. But there are some who are willing to hear. Principle number 4. If you're going to follow God's goal for your life, you need to see that some people will oppose you. Some are ready to hear. Some will oppose you. Verse 7, Luke 19, verse 7. And when they saw it, they all murmured. This is the crowd, the people. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was going to be a guest with a man that is a sinner. What are you doing spending any time with him? Now, let me say this. We have to be careful about our friends. The Bible gives a lot of warning that who we have fellowship with, we must be careful. But reaching out to people is different than having fellowship with them. Okay, we're not saying we're trying to be buddy-buddy with people who are involved in all kinds of things. It's going to draw us away from the Lord. But we need to see we're trying to reach people. And if you're going to reach sinners, what are you going to do to reach them? Well, sometimes you have to go. Jesus went to this guy's house. And he reached out to him. He ministered to him. And they didn't like that. But sometimes people oppose you. I mentioned opening assemblies that the schools have over there in South Africa, and with the one Zulu High School, I've preached at many times for years. It's about 1,000 students, 1,100 students, and of course, you don't get to know all the students, just a sea of faces. You get to know a few of them, but I was at a funeral one day, and the MC, they have an MC who leads the service, and he gets up, and he says, folks, I'm sure Pastor Don doesn't remember me. That's what they call me over there, Pastor Don. He says, I'm sure Pastor Don doesn't remember me. He said, but I attended the Zulu High School up here, and he would come and preach to us. And he said, I would go back to class, I would mock him and mock the message he was just giving to us. And all the students would laugh. He had a funny way of doing it. I wasn't there, but he said, you know, he'd get them all laughing and making fun of me. He said, the interesting thing was, even as I was mocking him, the Holy Spirit was convicting me in my heart. They said I left high school and the Lord brought someone else upon my path and someone else upon my path. He said, I got saved and I'm a preacher in my church now. And I want to thank Pastor Don because he was the first one God used to begin to work in my heart. Now, the interesting thing with him is he initially opposed it, but eventually received it. Be prepared. There were people who will oppose you. And it's not really you they're opposing, unless you're being obnoxious, okay? But it's the message. It's God himself they're actually opposing. And so be prepared, the fact that you will have some people oppose you. Principle number 5, if you're going to follow God's goal for your life, you need to see that some people will repent. Principle 5, if you're going to follow God's goal for your life, you need to see that some people will repent. Look at verses 8 and 9. It doesn't use the word repentance here, but we see the concept. It says here, and when they saw it, verse 8, and Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, this day is salvation come to this house, for as much as he also is a son of Abraham. Now, the point isn't that he got saved by doing these good works. The point is his good works showed the repentant faith he had in his heart. The Bible's very clear about this. We're saved by grace through faith, not by our works. Some of you might know Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. The Bible says, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So what do? It's a gift from God. You don't work for a gift. If you work for a gift, it's a payment. A gift, you do what? You just receive it. Now, if you receive Jesus with all of your heart and realize that because you're a sinner, God cannot let you into heaven because heaven is perfect. A lot of people out there have this idea, I'm going to heaven because I'm a pretty good person. They see themselves as pretty good people. And in a human earthly sense, they might be pretty decent people. But that's not what gets you to heaven. Because heaven is perfect and none of us are perfect. Good people don't go to heaven. Only perfect people go to heaven. That means we have a problem. Because you'll be honest with yourself, you're going to admit, well, okay, you know, I've maybe done some things that were wrong. Did you ever have a bad thought? Did you ever have a bad attitude? You know, we used to think of sins as like, well, I never robbed a bank. I never killed anybody, so I guess I'm a pretty good person, okay? But the thought of foolishness, the Bible says the thought of foolishness is sin. I'll be the first one to say, I'm guilty. It's not about being better than somebody else. It's about the fact we have broken God's law and heaven is perfect. The amazing thing is God in his love made a way to forgive us. And so he sent his son and Jesus came to earth and he lived a perfect life and he showed us how to live. But to cleanse us from our sins, he died on the cross. Romans 5:8 says, but God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And then to prove he has the power to forgive you, to conquer sin and conquer death, he arose from the dead. And if you'll believe, if you'll accept him as your Savior, he'll cleanse you from sin. And you know what happens then? Then the works come. Not to get saved, but to the evidence that you've been saved. Ephesians 2:10 continues. I just quoted verses 2, 8, and 9. You're saved by grace through faith. Verse 10. For we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. You say we're in Christ, we're saved, we accept him as our Savior, and then he brings the good works. And it's the evidence that we're saved. Unfortunately, a lot of people out there have this idea, my good works will take away my sin. It doesn't work like that. It's kind of like if I took all these papers and these various papers here, they represent my sin. And then I take my Bible, this represents my good works. And I take it and I put it behind there and I can hide these papers behind my Bible. But you know what? The papers are still there. Even if you can't see them, they're still there. And so people take their good works and they try to hide their sin with their good works, but God sees everything. You might hide your sin from other people, but God sees everything. You won't hide it from him. And when you answer to God, you're not going to answer, you're not going to hide behind somebody else and say, well, he was worse than I am, so you're going to answer to God for your life. And the only answer of the fact that you're going to have eternal life, you're going to live with the Lord one day, is the fact that Jesus paid it all. He paid my debt, and I just trusted him. I gave him my life. And if you have that heart desire for Jesus to cleanse you and give you a new life, all you have to do is pray and ask him, and he'll save you. But you got to really believe. A lot of people out there, working in South Africa among the Zulus, most of our churches there, they blend Christianity and ancestor worship. And so they're trying to follow two paths at the same time. Basically, what they're doing is to say, I'm on my path, and this is what my culture teaches me. Let me just add Jesus. I'm sorry, but that's not salvation. That's not belief. But you know, Americans do that too. Well, it might not be ancestor worship. It might be something else. But they want to continue on the road and just kind of add Jesus to my. No, Jesus came to give you a new life. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Jesus came to give you a new life. If you don't want a new life in Jesus, you're not going to get his salvation. When you come to Jesus for salvation, you're asking him to cleanse you from sin and give you his righteousness. You've heard during the earlier session, or the Sunday school session, there was a verse there that talked about being clothed with the robes of his righteousness. You see, you're not getting to heaven because you're good enough. You're getting to heaven because Jesus is good enough, and you trusted him, and he gave you his righteousness. What a wonderful exchange. You come to him with your sin, he gives you his righteousness, and you get inheritance in heaven. It's a wonderful exchange. One last point this morning, principle number 6. Oh, I wanted to say this. As we buried my sister yesterday, and of course, those who are part of the church, and how she was always busy for the Lord, doing something. She was one of those examples of someone who was busy for the Lord. It was the evidence of her salvation. And I know she wrote a letter of appreciation to the church and thanked various ones of you who are now taking over some of the ministries that she had. And I want to thank you for that as well, because God's desire for you is to do something for him. God, if you're saved, God has given you a ministry. Now, your ministry will be different from my ministry. It'll be different from other people in this church. But God has given you a ministry. And you need to ask God, what is the ministry you've given me? He's given you certain talents, certain abilities. And God, you've given me a ministry. Help me to fulfill that ministry. And you're not going to get saved because you serve the Lord. You're going to get saved because you believe in him. But then he gives you the strength to do something for him. And so I want to encourage you to do that. My last principle this morning, principle number 6. If you're going to follow God's goal for your life, you need to see that God's goal for your life is to seek the lost. See, this is why I said when I began, the goal of having a job is not just to get money. Yes, it is a purpose of working, but it's not the only purpose. In fact, it's not the main purpose. The main purpose is God has given you a place to serve Him. Yes, we serve God in the church, but we serve Him out there. And the main reason you go to school or you have a job or whatever you might be doing with your life, even in your community, why did God put you where He put you? To be a light to those around you. Because God's goal for your life is that you seek and save that which was lost. Look at Luke 19 and verse 10. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Jesus wants us to follow Him. He's our example. He wants the goal for your life to seek and to save. Now, we don't save people. Jesus actually does the saving. That's why He can say that. But we point them to the Savior who can save them. And so God's goal for you is to have a desire to be a light to others, to point them to Jesus, to help them see that they're lost. This is the thing. You have to get people lost before they can get saved, you see. Sometimes you have to help people see they're sinners. And some people are a bit offended at that. We're not just going out and trying to be obnoxious and say, you know, I just want to let you know you're on your way to hell. And they say, well, what do you mean? Well, of course, we need to let them know on the way to hell. But you have to ask God wisdom how to approach people. And I've known some people that went up to someone and said, you know, you're on your way to hell. And God used that to get them saved. Okay. Sometimes a little more tact works. Okay. But the fact is, you need to help people see they're lost. If someone just thinks, well, I'm good enough. I often use this illustration. I use it here. I use it in South Africa. But I'll say, you know, suppose I die. I start with myself first. I die and I go to heaven. And God says, Don, I remember when you stole something in school. But, you know, you did a lot of good things and you went overseas to preach the gospel. So I'm going to let you into heaven. So now we got a thief in heaven. And then you die and you come before the Lord. God says, you know, I remember when you told a lie. But you were a good person, did a lot of good things. And so I'm going to let you into heaven. Now we got steal and they lied in heaven. Another person dies and they come before God. And God says, I remember when you disrespected your parents. But you know, you did a lot of good things. So I'm going to let you into heaven. And now we got steal and lying and disrespect in heaven. And pretty soon heaven will be full of sin. And heaven won't be heaven anymore. You see, you have to be perfect to go to heaven. Now, because we aren't perfect, we have a problem. That's why Jesus came, to cleanse us from our sin. And so even though we aren't perfect, we are forgiven. And so we need to help people to see and to understand the fact they're lost. Without the forgiveness of Jesus, they will go to hell and they will suffer for eternity. And it's not like some people say, well, you know, I'll worry about when I'm dead. I'm sorry, it's too late. Hebrews 9:27 says, it is appointed unto man once to die, but after this, the judgment. Not after this, some other chance. And by the way, a lot of churches out there teach this. You get some kind of a second chance. Some churches are trying to pray people out of purgatory and even paying money to do this. And it's too late. Now is the day of salvation. I was out visiting one day in South Africa and met a guy. He was Rastafarian. I don't know if you know anything about the guys, but basically Rastafarians, they have some interesting beliefs, rather strange. They kind of use the Bible here and there to whitewash their religion, you know. But they wear dreadlocks, they smoke weed, and they listen to great music. And when I meet a Rastafarian, I just say, don't give me all that stuff about you believe this and this in the Bible and this, and all this. I said, you know, you like reggae music, you like dreadlocks, and you like smoke weed. Let's just be honest, you know. They kind of look at me. You know? But anyway, I met this Rastafarian guy. And I chatted with him. And he was busy on a job. He was a construction worker. But talked to him for about 10 minutes, and he was really interested. So I got his phone number. I tried to call him later and couldn't get a hold of him. Found out later he had lost his phone. And I got a different phone number. So I went back and tried to visit that area because he was on a construction site. I couldn't find him. I only knew his, well, he told me his whole name, but anyway, I couldn't find the guy. So I prayed and I said, Lord, that guy was really interested. Somehow I'd like to get in touch with him. The next Friday at our Friday Bible study, a young chap shows up, high school age, didn't know who he was, first time. He just showed up. I don't even know how he heard about us, but he came to our Friday Bible study and He came in while we were already in session, and so at the end I asked him his name, and he told me. He told me his name, and after I went home, I said to myself, his surname, his last name was Sabisi. And I thought, I think that's what this other guy told me. He's a Sabisi. So I said, Lord, he had already departed. I said, Lord, bring him back so I can ask him if he knows this guy, Tulani Sabisi. Okay, so sure enough, the next Friday, the only two times this guy ever came to any services we have at all. He shows up. So at the end, I said to him, do you know this guy? He says, yes, he's my uncle, and we live in the same house. I said, thanks, Lord, show me where you live. I need to talk to this guy. So sure enough, he shows me where he lives, and I made a plan. I sat down with this guy. We sat down and talked for about an hour and a half, and we talked about, you know, he had actually started attending one of these 12 apostle churches. Okay, preaches a false gospel. But he still had his dreadlocks. But he was kind of, you know, he's like, I know Rastafarianism isn't really the answer here, you know, but he didn't know what to believe. And so we talked about Rastafarianism and the 12 apostles and ancestor worship, and I took him to the scriptures and showed him the gospel. So I said to him, so what do you think? What if you died today, where would you go? He said, I go to hell. Is that where you want to go? He says, no. I said, are you ready to really believe and ask Jesus to come in and cleanse you from sin and change your life? You want a new life in Jesus? He said, I do. And he prayed and accepted Christ. And today he's preaching at my church there, filling in. These weeks I've been over here now, he's filling in. He's preaching there. He's grown in the Lord. This happened about 4 years ago. And what a blessing. As we seek and save the lost, our goal is to see them to want to do what? Seek and save the lost, you see. And so this is God's goal. I want you to see that your main aim in life should be to reach other people. Yes, from jobs you get money. But you need to see God has given you a ministry. And if you know Jesus as your Savior, ask God to help you be a light for him and fulfill the ministry he's given to you. If there's someone here and you've never received Jesus as Savior, maybe you're not sure you're going to heaven or not, would you talk to me at the end? Or if you know someone else here you can talk to, that's fine. Would you talk to me at the end? Just say, Brother Don, I'd like to have a few minutes to talk with you. And I'd like to sit down. You know, you can receive many. You know, when I got saved, I was laying in bed at night. Sunday night, I come home from church, the Holy Spirit convicted me, and I didn't want to wait to go to church. I might die between now and then, you know. And so, you know, when you're under conviction, you know, and the Holy Spirit's working, you know, just, you know, you need to do it. And I got saved laying in bed at night, you know. Anyway, I want to encourage you, if you don't know Jesus as Savior, if you're not sure you're going to heaven, please. Talk to somebody, talk to me. All you have to do is open your heart to Jesus completely and ask him to save you, and he'll do it if you really believe. Thank you for being here. God bless you. Let's close in prayer, and then we'll have a final hymn. Father, we thank you for saving us. And we know Jesus came to seek and save the lost. And because we're in your family and we're your servants, we ask you to help us to seek and to save the lost. Lord, if anyone here today does not know Christ as Savior, give them the courage, give them the desire to come and find salvation and forgiveness in Jesus. We pray in his name. Amen.